of course, is the life function of the individual, his activity, how he spends his time, what he is involved and engaged in. It is the engagements of life, the activities of life. Romans 6 and 4 says, therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. The activities of our life should be different. Functions of our life are different when we make our start for God. 2 Corinthians 5 and 7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Sometimes the activities of life are by faith because that we do not have visible assurance. We are in the midst of trial and discouragement sometimes. And we do what we do by faith because we believe in the principles of God. Ephesians 4 and 1, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you were called, that you live in such a way that you're worthy of the particular ministry that God wants you to function in, and that you be worthy of it. And then 1 John 2 and 6, he that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. If we say that we are a Christian, if we say that we are in Christ, then the Scripture says our activities ought to be those like Jesus, like the activities of Jesus. We ought to walk as he walked. Our life ought to be as his life was. Now, I'd like for us to turn back to the fifth chapter of Ephesians, and we would like to read together the scripture that is in this chapter from the first verse through the 17th verse. I'd like for us to read these scriptures aloud together. Ephesians chapter 5, beginning with verse 1. And if you will read with me this morning, that would be fine. Let us participate together in God's Word. Beginning with verse 1. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling Savior. But fornication and all uncleanness are covetous. Let it not once be named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which is not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger or unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doeth manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of God is. All right. The walk of the Christian. There are several reasons that we have already covered why that a Christian ought to walk carefully in this world. And after we come to find the Lord, we begin to follow after Him or walk after Him. And our walk here in this world should be a careful walk. One reason why it should is because that we are saints. Now, we will give further explanation of the word saints here. This is not just a vague veneration that is given. Sometimes a person finally voted to be a saint or something of this nature. This was a normal position that the Christian in the New Testament occupied in the days of the Apostle Paul. They were referred to as saints. Now, this is all a common term here in the writings of Paul. Let it not once be named among you as becometh saints. There is a certain walk that a saint is supposed to have. There are some things that saints don't do. They just simply don't, because if they have come into the newness of life, into a different lifestyle, a different allegiance, and their priorities are in a different place. We arise to walk in the newness of life. Now, when we think of the word saint, it comes from a common term that is very scriptural, such as sanctify and sanctity, and so on. A person that goes through the experience of sanctification. Here is a sinner. And then this sinner is sanctified. He goes through experience of the Holy Ghost, and we are sanctified by the Spirit and sanctification. And on the other side, he is a saint. A sinner on this side and a saint on this side. And in between, sanctification, which makes him a saint. And then, of course, this is akin to the word sanctuary. The Scripture tells us that we're not our own, but we are bought with a price. And we are to glorify God in our body and our spirit, which are God's. Our body belongs to God. The Scripture said, "Know ye not that your bodies are the temples of the Holy Ghost?" Our very selves is to be a sanctuary. It is sanctified. It is set apart. It is used of the Lord. And we belong to God. And people that have this particular experience, who have set themselves, have been set aside and apart unto the Lord, are referred to in the Scriptures as saints. This is not just some kind of a musty religious word. It is a Bible term. When we refer to people as saints, we're referring to them on the same level that the New Testament referred to people as. This is a Bible terminology. Saints. Now, our sainthood determines where we go. It determines how we look. It determines how we treat others. And it determines also what we say. Because that we live by a different set of values. And we are not our own, but we are bought with a price. We attempt to bring the Lord glory in everything that we do. And there are some places that we do not go, because that it does not bear witness to the Lord. Our presence there would seem to sanction that particular location. It would seem to sanction what is going on there. And we don't do that. There are some things we do not sanction by our presence. We do not put in our appearance there. If a person wishes to be free from temptation, the best way to do is avoid temptation. Stay away from it. Not to go into the ways of temptation. Put yourself in a place where that you would be tempted. And then, of course, our sainthood determines how we look. We say things with our appearance. This past week, my granddaughter pointed out a particular fellow that was near us, and this fellow had a particular appearance, part of his hair shaved off, and part of it was not shaved off, and so on. He had a particular way that he dressed, and what was he doing? He was witnessing to a particular ideology of entertainers who espouse a lifestyle that is very filthy, very dirty, very rebellious toward authority, things of this nature. The way that this fellow was dressing was saying, "I believe in this kind of lifestyle. I support this kind of a lifestyle." He didn't have to say it with his mouth. He said it with the way he looked. And so, our witness is in how that we look. more than in what we say. How we treat others is a part of our sainthood, because that we show forth the likeness of Christ in our relationships, the respect that we have for other people, and also what we say. The Bible says that that no unclean thing should come out of our mouth, and that we ought to be careful in our conversation. The Bible says that in the seeing that these things are coming to pass, what manner of people ought we to be in all holy conversation and godliness, and the way we talk, what we say, the expressions that we use. There ought to be a certain discipline, restraint there, because that we are people of the Lord. We should be careful how we walk, because that we are kings. The Bible says that we are kings and priests unto God. The Scripture speaks here of the kingdom of God in this particular chapter. The Bible said, "They which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of Christ." That is found in the fifth verse of chapter 5. There is the kingdom of God, and we are made kings and priests unto the Lord. Verse 5 says, "No whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ." I'm aware of the fact today that there is a teaching quite well accepted in the land that you can do just about what you wish to do, and then you're still classed as a Christian if you've believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. This is not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches us that no whoremonger, idolatrous person, covetous, and an unclean person shall inherit the kingdom of Christ, period. And a practice of these particular things puts a person outside of the acceptance of God. It does. And this is the plain statement of the word of the Lord. I put this here where that perhaps make a more of a, we can understand it better. "No whoremonger or unclean person or covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of God." This is the word of the Lord. Revelation 1 and 6, "He hath made us kings and priests unto God." And since we are kings, there are some things that a king just simply does not do. I was in England at the time of the wedding of Prince Charles. I didn't see, obviously, a lot of the gentleman. I saw him a couple of times, but I didn't hear anybody saying that they had seen Prince Charles out on the streets during this particular time, picking up cigarette butts or scrounging in the garbage can. There are some things that kings don't do. And there are some things that spiritual kings do not do. That it's just they don't do it. They have a particular walk and a lifestyle that becometh them. In 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, and the 9th through the 11th verses, we would like to read. "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind." Now this is a plain statement of God's word. The Scripture says that these shall not inherit the kingdom of God. "Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." Now, that is the statement. Twice it said that. It said that in the first part of the 9th chapter verse and the last part of the 11th verse. That this particular kind of people shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And Paul made a long list of sins and at one particular place, and he stated again that people that did these shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, we should be careful how we walk, because that we are light and not just a reflection, but are actually light in the world that we live in. Now, this is important that we know this, because sometimes that people get the idea, you know, that Well, this particular lifestyle that you teach and you espouse, it's all not necessary. That is just your opinion. And you're putting people in bondage and so on. Now, if the Bible teaches something, it is true. It is a principle. It should be lived by. I'm reading things this morning out of the Word of God. It is necessary for your pastor to read things like this out of the Word of God, to state them and teach them, because we are living in a world that is going by human opinion and are being taught by people that get their instruction out of the various books and by listening to people like themselves and things of this nature. But this is the book of life. And what this Bible says is right. And we can depend upon it and trust in it. And our lives will be better ordered if we live according to the Scripture. Do you know that ever so often that it's not unusual for the devil to come around and lie to me and lie to you and tell you, now, I'm just, it doesn't matter. It doesn't make all that much difference and so on. Are you sure thus and so? When you start rationalizing on sin, asking the question, now what is wrong with this and what is wrong with that? You are placing yourself in a position of sliding and of declension that, of course, has no end to it. It will go on and on. Now, the Scripture that we are referring to here in Ephesians, the fifth chapter, relative to us being light, the Scripture says, verse 8, "For ye were sometimes darkness," not in darkness, but you were darkness. But now ye are light. Now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. One time you were darkness. Now you are light. Now those are quite great statements. There are some people that are a source of darkness. There are some who are. I was in Indiana one time preaching a revival. While I was there preaching that particular revival, something happened. They apprehended a man who had killed an individual. He had beat him with a poker and had killed him with a iron poker in the basement of his home. Finally, the whole thing came out as to why he killed this man. And this was something of what had happened. They were struggling, and we were going through a depression at that time. This has been a good long while ago. It's when people use coal in their furnaces in the north. And when people used trains, people didn't use airplanes. There was no air conditioning in cars. That was a long time ago, wasn't it? And I'm really dating myself. But anyway, we were in a depression situation. The man met this fellow on the job, didn't know a lot about him. He was a gruff kind of a fellow, but he carried his end of the load as far as his job was concerned, and that was about it. Things kind of got tight. The man was not married that he had met, this family man, met this fellow. And so he just made mention one day. He said, "I need a place to stay, so on. I'd like to get somewhere where I can board, not only have a room but board." Well, he said, "We've got an extra room," and he realized that the extra income would mean a lot to him. And so this fellow came in, had his bedroom there in the house, and he ate with them. He had not been in that home very long until he wished he had never invited him into that home. He was a domineering kind of a fellow. He was very opinionated, and he tended to impose his particular feelings and beliefs on people. He would correct the children, and his presence changed the entire climate of that home. He was a dominating individual. And as time went on, well, the man felt like that he would have to ask him to leave. And he had lost his job in the meantime. This fellow was about their own sole support. And he was generous with his money, but the price was that he ran the whole house. And finally, the head of the house told the man, said, I want to talk to you. So they went down into the basement, and he told him, said, I'm just going to have to ask you to leave. And the man said, okay. And he was surprised that he didn't blow up. He said, I'll get my stuff. And he turned around as if he were going to go up toward the stair. And when he half turned, he swung around very hard with his right hand and smashed him into the face. Knocked him flat. And he was on him. Had him by the throat and choking him. But when his arms flew back, his fingers closed around that iron bar. And he managed to get it up and bring it down on that man's head to where he could get him off of him. And he was so pent up with anger until he never quit, until he was spent and the man was dead at his feet. I'm just saying this. What does the Scripture say? You were darkness. What happened in that home? There was a cloud of darkness that moved into that home. This fellow had enough evil and wrong and strong will in him until it changed the entire climate of that home. Now, we've got some heads of families here. You are responsible for your home. You're responsible for your children. I have known more than one time in my life to where some godly person had to usurp their particular paternal authority and ask somebody to leave. I'm sorry, it's just that way. This is our home, this is our house, and I'm responsible for it. It seems like that it's not working out. It would work better without you. If that ever happens to you, don't feel condemned about it. Don't let the devil beat your brains out about it. If you don't take care of your home and your family, pray tell me who is. If you allow darkness to come into your home. Now, this is darkness personified. There are some people that are just darkness. And when they move in, darkness comes with them. And they change the sunlight of that particular habitat into dusky darkness, and the entire climate of that home is changed. But the Scripture said that now you are light. You are capable of exuding a good influence wherever you go and being a blessing wherever you go. Matthew 5:14 said you are the light of the world, a city that is set on a hill that cannot be hid. Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may glorify your Father which is in heaven. Praise God. This is the lifestyle of a Christian. The keeping a good balance. Walking as the Lord walks. The activity that a person should have in this world after they come to know the Lord. The Christian walk and some of the characteristics of the Christian walk. 4 different times in 17 verses, the word walk is even spoken of or described here in the 5th chapter of Ephesians. We are to walk carefully because of the kind of world that we live in. Paul spoke of an evil world, and it hasn't improved any since the days of the Apostle Paul. In the 3rd verse of chapter 5, Paul warns against sensuality. He said, but fornication and all uncleanness are covetous. Let it not once be named among you as becometh saints. And this is a directive of God. Lewd talk is something that should not be a part of Christian fellowship. Now, I've been shocked a few times in my life when I've been around people that were supposed to be living for God and some of the kind of conversation that they fell into. There are some kinds of conversations that we are not to get ourselves involved in. Now, there are some words that I would not feel comfortable at all saying to my wife when it's just she and I alone. There are some things that I would not say, some words that I would not use in the presence of my wife. She is a lady and she is a Christian. And there are some things that we just, that Christians, there's a certain restraint, a chastity, a lifestyle. There's some things that do not come through our mouth. The Bible said it is a shame to talk about even some of the things that are done by some people in secret. That their lewdness and dirtiness and filthiness that this world wallows in today is not something that children of God should become a part of. I'm talking to you today out of my heart because I am pastoring a group of people that lives in a dirty world, that has to work in a dirty world. And you hear dirty words and you come in contact with dirty people and you're around this all the time. Now, but when you come home, it's a different story. This is my castle. This is my world. There are some, I can't help what may go on out there, but I can do something about what happens here. And this is a different ball game, and so on. You are entirely in your right to protect your home. I pastored some folks one time. Her brother came and to live with them. He was disrespectful and. They had a tremendous blow up one day over there. They lived right across from the church, and they had a big blow up over there, and she felt real bad about it. And she came, and she was so distraught, and she had asked her brother to leave, and I asked her why. I said, Sister Rashto, I said, what happened? She said, well, said, I've got children, said, and he knows what Raymond and me believe, and what we stand for, and said, I can't come in, and he had 2 6-packs in my refrigerator, and so on. She said, I told him to get out, and so on. And she said, well, said, what would you have done if you'd have been me? I said, I may not have told him to get out just the way you told him to get out, but I said, I would have made it plain that the 6-packs would have stayed in the refrigerator in my house. Praise God. Now, folks, I wouldn't have felt bad about that. That's your house. You're paying the rent on it, or you're paying the notes, or you're paying the taxes. It stands for something. It says something. And don't be intimidated on some counts by the devil. Don't do it. If you don't, friend, you know, sometimes the devil, people just walk right over you. I'm not talking about being mean, and I'm not talking about being just ultra sanctimonious and flaunting your holiness. And I'm not doing that. That makes people sick. It bothers me, and so on. We're not all of that good, and so on. But it's just simply saying, I live here, and this is my house, and I'm trying to raise my kids in a certain way. We just don't do that. I would be very pleased. Don't talk like that here. That's my children here. You can't bring that in here. And so on. This is my house. Praise God. This is where I live. Sometimes the enemy would cause you to feel like an old meanie because that you take a firm position in some areas of your life. Could you say amen?
Amen?
That's right. Praise God. That's your home. It is your castle. And lewd talk is something that we should not involve ourselves with. Sensual acts is not an expression of love. It is one of lust. And people are confused in that. And so when people love less, they tend to resort to the strange practices of sensuality. And they live in such a world as that. and the scripture speaks about our covetousness and to be greedy of filthy lucre and so on. It is possible to be ruled by things rather than to be the person that is enjoying them and being the ruler of your own life. For a person to say, I want that, is not reason enough for me to have it. But it's whether we can afford it or not. And the correct ordering of our lives is important. Now, I want to say this. I must many times make judgments, and I must sometimes advise people. But there are particular principles of life that you just don't get around. Jesus stated one of them when he said this. He said, if you don't take care of the unrighteous mammon, how can God commit to you the true riches? Now, this is one of those principles of life. There is something about handling your finance and handling your money that is very important to God. He said, and I have quoted this to preachers before, and I've in justifying reasons why that I didn't want them in the district that I'm superintendent of. I don't want you here. I will not recommend you for that church. Why? So. And many times the statement is this: if you can't take care of the unrighteous mammon, how can God commit to you the true riches? We're talking about the gifts of the Spirit and the flow of God's presence in your life. There is something about the right ordering of your life. And listen to me carefully today. That's what I've been talking about. Setting your house in order. The proper ordering of your life. It should fall into a disciplined way of living. And in that disciplined way of living is being disciplined in the placing of whatever finance comes your way. That it is put in the proper way and placed in the proper way. And the Scripture says, if you are not able to place your finance and discipline yourself in the placing of your finance, the gist of it is, you're not going to get anywhere with God. Because you're going to be undisciplined in other areas of your life. If you're not strong enough to say no here, you'll not be strong enough to say no there. And so on. All of this hinges together, and it is a part of our walk with God. The Bible speaks about destructive talk, jesting, and so on. Now, this does not mean a good sense of humor. It does not mean the ability to laugh. And I'll give you strong reasons why. Sometimes people have asked me, what is one of the good, best ways of ensuring the fact that your children will live for God? Now, I could name a lot of ways that you could have a home that would enhance the possibility that your children will live for God. But one of the first things that I usually say is, have a lot of laughter in your house. Laugh a lot. Convey to your children that living for God is a joyous thing and that it works and so on. I have known some people that were so sanctimonious and so holy, if they smiled, it would look like that it would break their face. And there they were, so long face and so on. And you most always, in an environment like that, you will not find their children living for God. But there is something about victory in the Lord, levity and happiness. The first three items of the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace. Praise God. Love, joy, and peace. Praise God. But foolish jesting. We're talking about this empty-headed things. That it's just always a babbling. And I can take some of that, but if I'm around and they're cracking one joke after another, about two, a couple of them, and that's fine. It's kind of like dessert, and it's enough is enough. But to go on, just pour it out, and just, you know, I'm talking all day long, and I get tired of that. And sometime or another, you've got to come on down and
talk about something that's sensible. And this is what the Bible is referring to here. Praise God. Can we say praise the Lord? Another rendition says silly talk and coarse jesting. Statements that have a double meaning. And Scripture also says fools make a mock of sin. We need to be careful how we walk, because that we are responsible. And this will finish our series on this consideration. Verse 16 says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. This means acting wisely, making the most of our time. This is a mercantile term. Buy up the time. Lay claim to it. The Bible said that we should walk circumspectly. What does walking circumspectly mean? It means to advance with judgments and with observation, making proper judgment. It does not mean blundering through life with no judgment as where you're going, what you say or what you do, living conveniently and so on. But it means, does this add to me? What will the children say? Is this a good influence? Is this a bad influence? And so on. There are some homes that you should not want your children to go and spend the night in. That's right. There are some families that you should not want your children to be around. This is walking circumspectly. It is observing, judging, that we don't live that way. That's not for us. That does not add. I don't want you over there. That's just good sound judgment. Praise God. When we look, go shopping, we usually look around for the best buys, and we shop with care. And we all have an equal amount of time. It's how we spend it that makes the difference. And where we are today depends largely on the way that we have spent our time in the past. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. We can invest all of our lives into something that doesn't matter that much. America is a world that is taken up with entertainment. It is amazing how much the American people feel the need to be entertained. And because that, we had our granddaughter with us this past week, and there was a couple of times that I said to my wife was talking to her, Misty, are you getting bored? And so on. And so I said to my wife, I said, well, if she's getting bored, I said, so what? And she said, well, don't want her to be bored. We must not be bored. Bring on something. Quick, do something. Because we must not be bored. This is the attitude of much of America. Bring something in. Roll it in. Do something. Get on with it. Because we must not be bored. There is a certain amount of monotony, of silence that people need. Just simply sometimes to where you have to turn your thoughts inward. Examine yourself. Get quiet. Praise God. And think about something. Please. Praise God. And let's see what the world is about. Hallelujah. One of the great things that's destroyed great civilizations has been tremendous avalanches of entertainment. A whole society that is rocked off of the balance of reason. Just caught up in external things that bombard, come flowing in. Thus they fail to live objectively and to find out what the real things of life are. What is important and what's not important. Why do I teach like this? It's because that it is extremely important that we be people that have it together. Praise God. Live in this world in objective and godly reality. Hallelujah. For the grace of God which bringeth salvation has appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, that we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who loved us.